When it comes to your shower routine, Irish Spring knows that what matters most is feeling refreshed. Its crisp, fresh, unmistakable scent zings your brain, awakening your senses. So you emerge from the shower ready to take on the day. And smell great while you're doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at Walmart.
You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip-off. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your life sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I pull the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. This is good. I was a little flat. The intro gets me going, gets me in the mood.
Intro kind of gets you fired up a bit, yeah. Especially when you get it into the show. Like that. What's up, exactly. Guys? What's up, Sherrod?
Sherrod, we missed intro. You. We needed this intro for this game.
We did.
Yeah.
What's up, people?
It got hairy. It got hairy there at the end.
Yeah, it got hairy. So anyway. Kind of the worst case scenario, right?
No, worst case is they would have lost.
No, not worst case. Worst case meaning you didn't get your, everybody healthy matchup. Giannis doesn't play, so the juice is just taken out of the game to begin with.
Yep.
Then it would be like, all right, let's just get the blowout, feel good about it, and that's that. And you kind of, you piss that one away. Enough to be annoying. Jimmy, you and I have battled over this stuff. I don't care. This was, to me, straight boredom tonight. I don't think indicative of, how a playoff game would look. But I'm still curious whether you guys think, hey, the Bucks have something here. You certainly can't take it for granted. If you face it, it's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. You're not taking anyone for granted at that point. I think a lot of people are pretty dismissive of the Bucks.
I'm still dismissive
of the Bucks.
All right.
Yeah. This was a good game. They did what a lot of teams do when you're undermanned. You play desperate. Bobby Portis got ridiculously hot down the stretch there. Lillard made a few shots. And obviously it's a different game when you got Giannis out there. We get that. But the first 2 minutes of the game told me exactly what, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, is going to absolutely have me crapping in my pants every time I play the Boston Celtics. Malik Beasley
and Lillard. Yeah.
I mean, their first 5-7 points, they went right at those guys. And that's the problem. Milwaukee does not have any type of antidote that can remedy those two defensive weak links.
We talked about it during the Dallas game. It's hard to play the Celtics when you have two defensive liabilities on the floor at the same time. If you only have one guy to hide, you can get away with it. If you've got two regulars that you have that can be hunted all the time, you've got some problems. And the Celtics and the Bucks certainly do.
Fine, but also don't forget there's going to be a situation where Giannis will be out there in the playoffs, so he might be able to at least cover some of that. If they I don't see them getting to the hoop as easily with somebody like Giannis out there who can guard, obviously, multiple positions, and he can be all over the court. And we've seen especially what he's able to do in the playoffs and how he pretty much turned into, defensive player of the year in the NBA Finals. And that's some really good blocks. So I don't think it'll be that simple, John. I do see your guys' point that, those are the weak links. And they do have Beverly that they kind of bring in off the bench on certain occasions. But what he gives you defensively, he hurts you with on the offensive side of things. So it's kind of like pick your poison, I guess, in that situation.
I was just going to say, go ahead, finish, Jimmy. Sorry.
No, you got it. No, finish, go.
No, all I was going to say was that the problem with Milwaukee is that they play a team like the Celtics who have great ball movement. who's always looking for giving up the good shot for the great one. And Giannis, you're right, he can cover a lot of ground, but he can't cover all five spots. And the Celtics are going to keep swinging that ball till they get that matchup that they want, and they're going to exploit it. And that's a problem for Milwaukee, because now the Celtics, every time they pretty much step on the floor against Milwaukee, they know there are two matchups that they're going to exploit, that they can go to. And so Joe Mazzulla is going to do what I think smart coaches will do, and you create scenarios that have Giannis on one side of the floor and that mismatch on the other.
Yeah. Couple other things. So, yeah, John, to your point, does take this the steam out of things a little bit when a guy like Giannis isn't playing the game. I like that the Celtics didn't play Holiday tonight, because that Holiday-Lillard matchup, they didn't. I think, to your point, John, I think you said, like, you know, you don't want to show everything. You don't want to show everything that you're planning on doing. This was maybe a little counter move to Giannis not playing tonight. This says, all right, we're going to sit Holiday so you don't see how we clamp down Lillard if we get to that part of the playoffs with you guys, and you don't see the way we defend him and how we're going to try to take him off the ball or how we're going to shut him off, you know, because Lillard was the guy tonight, obviously, with Giannis out of the game. And I like the fact that the Bucks made a little bit of a comeback and reminded the Celtics that, you know, it's not going to always be a cakewalk. It might feel like it right now, but don't take this Bucks team for granted. You know, don't disrespect the game, because as soon as you do, here's a little reminder. It's all of a sudden it's a 2-point game and they had a chance to make it a 1-point game if Portis hits more free throw. So it happened fast. And I think it reminded you, yeah, Portis got hot, but he can play. He can shoot. Middleton still got something left. He's not the Celtics killer
something
previous years, but still capable. 8 of 11 tonight. I mean, he did what
I also don't like our double big line. I don't like the double big lineup against his team.
Yeah.
As much as I like, you know, and again, with Giannis, it does change. You do want to get Horford on the floor a little bit more, but I think the guards eat these guys alive, you know, if they're playing tonight too, with Holiday. But yeah, this doesn't look anything like what a regular game would look like between these teams. It's just the missing pieces make it so hard to kind of.
They didn't have one since November, you know? So if they do play again, it's going to look completely different.
Yeah.
Than it has all season.
So we'll talk about, over the course of the next however many minutes we're going to hang out here, we'll talk about what, if anything, can be gleaned from this game. Does it give Milwaukee a boost at all? Does it change the Celtics' thinking in any way heading into the postseason? We'll talk about Joe Mazzulla being reprimanded. He was told to sit in the corner. We'll talk a little bit about that. Bobby and Josue are at the Garden. We'll get some post-game reaction on here too, and I'm curious if Joe has anything more to say about his little wrist slap that he got regarding
Bad Joe.
Yeah,
we'll talk about all of that, but also this
bigger,
is happening.
Bigger news, folks. Yes, here we go.
Even bigger news right now. This is happening at the moment.
Are we live?
Our garden. So here's what we're doing, people. Here's how we're going to break it down. The Garden Report bracket is live. Apologies to Blorp and Tilapia TV. They lost tough play-in matchups, both in the in-show voting and the Twitter poll voting that we put out there. We're going to do tonight in the Hermann Gomez region, we're going to have Thanasis Manning versus Is That a Tie, the 1-8 matchup. And then the other one, Josue's Fax Machine / Josue the Beekeeper. Versus a 4-5 matchup versus He's Your Third Center. Okay.
Dark Horse. We're going to get the vote on
those two matchups only in the Hermann Gomez region tonight. I got balloons. Really? Yes.
Now,
just
why is
those
that?
Two matchups. Because we're going to do, I'm glad you asked, Jimmy.
Yes.
Those two, we're going to run the Twitter polls all week long.
I got you.
Yes. But we're going to run it tonight, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday. And then we're going to get down to our final eight. We'll whittle it from 8 to 4, and on we go until we get a finalist in the second ever March Madness bracket. Yes, sir.
So does the voting begin and end on those two matchups, like, tomorrow at this time or something?
No, the Twitter poll runs all week. You miss it in the live show voting. You can still hop on Twitter and vote in that poll from as many accounts as you want. Those are going to stay hot all the way through the first round. But the in-show voting is now. So you've got you got to hop in there now. Thanasis Manning, 1-8 matchup versus, is that a tie?
In-show voting. Now, where just one more time, because I think even I missed it. Where do you go to vote right now?
It's pinned to the chat.
It's pinned to the chat. That would explain why I can't see it. Okay.
And there you go, folks. And that's what we got. So get your votes in.
And guys,
halfway mark, we will put in the 4-5 matchup as well, and you'll get to vote on that.
You got to subscribe to the CLNS page too to get your voting in. You got to subscribe. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash the subscribe. Give us some likes. Give us some follows.
Give us some votes.
It all helps, and give us some votes. 1-8 matchup going on right now.
What's your vote, Gerard? Gerard, well, give us your.
It's got to be Thanasis Manning, man. That's like the overwhelming favorite. Dark horse, I want to go with Luke's Lemon Squares. I think that might be the dark horse.
You've always liked Luke's Lemon Squares. You've been a Luke's Lemon Squares guy, but he's a two seed. I wouldn't call it two seed dark horse.
If you want to go deeper than that, I like Sad Girls. That's a 3-seed. I can see that.
Flip it.
Yeah, I like Sad Girls. And if That's Jealous gets by Farts, My Dog, watch out. That has Final Four written on it.
That
was
a setup. I'm revolting if it does. I think he's your third center's a dark horse. That's a 5-seed.
I like that one too.
Sad Girls is funny. Too. Yeah. Do you have children? Yeah. That's a good one.
You have children. So as we said, we'll hear from all of those guys at the Garden, but jump in and vote. Have some fun with us here.
Thanasis Manning in the building, or Thanasis Antetokounmpo in the building. We actually had a Thanasis Manning meeting of the minds if they wanted to tonight.
Yes. We're willing it so. Bobby's going in the Bucks locker room.
Is he
tonight.
Going in?
Yeah.
Oh, that should go well. Yeah. That should go really well.
Thanasis is out to an early lead. We will see. So anyway, we're moving on. We just wanted to let you know about the poll. We'll get back to the basketball. I'll ask you guys this. Can you glean anything from this matchup? Do you think tonight's game gave the Bucks any more confidence in a potential playoff matchup against the Celtics? Your last two times, you beat them by 50, and you got within a bucket late without Giannis playing on the Celtics home floor. Did it do anything for them? Does this do anything for them?
I don't think so. I think that their takeaway is that, look, we didn't win a game. We just, with or without Giannis, you didn't win the game. And they know the chances of winning with him are significantly greater. So I just don't see, other than just, no, I can't even like fake and pretend that. I mean, Bobby Portis had a good game. Bobby is, to me, he's one of those guys that you look at as a potential X factor, because I do think he presents some matchup problem for the Celtics. He can space the floor with his 3-point shooting. He's a physical guy around the basket. So I think is for the Celtics. I think for them, Bobby Portis becomes, I think, going forward, maybe a little bit more attention will be paid to him going forward. But as far as Milwaukee's concerned, I don't see what they could get out of this game at this point. They're in the same boat as the Celtics. They want to win a championship. So I don't know if there's no moral, you know, good try, good effort vibes going on with these guys.
Yeah, I don't know if it does a whole lot one way or the other for either side, except maybe for the Bucks. I mean, it's I don't think it's going to hurt their confidence. It's certainly not going to do anything to hurt their confidence. They lost by 3 to a team without Giannis. For the Celtics, you know, they could spin it a number of ways, but I think for the Celtics, it was probably a good reminder that the Bucks have other players other than Giannis. I mean, and Lillard, you know, there are guys that can step up in certain moments and can hurt you. So if I'm Joe Mazzulla, again, he loves to talk about, you know, learning experiences and things like that. There's things you can take out of this game that you can learn from and you can use the highlights for if you need to later on. But as far as confidence goes, I don't think it did anything to hurt Celtics' confidence or worry them or scare them.
I don't think it's so either.
Just information.
I don't think so either. Bucks have shooters. You know that. Giannis will open up more shooting lanes because obviously you have to give him so much attention as he goes to the basket, and you have to have bodies there in the paint and clogging the lane. That opens things up. So, yeah, they get hot. They can go on a run there. But as Sherrod mentioned, Just defensively, there's going to be liabilities on the floor. I always think it's more a matter of can the other team possibly stay with what the Celtics are doing as opposed to any sort of fear you have matching up with anyone else. So I agree. I don't think there's much to be taken out of. I don't think this is a big puff out your chest. Maybe, you know, in Bucks Reddit or Twitter or, you know, some, you know, post-game shows out there in Milwaukee. Right. Yeah, they can feel decent about it, but I don't think much changes here. As far as this one is concerned, I'll tell you this. If you, my friends, had played Prize Picks tonight and took more on, I'm pretty sure, every single stat option for Derek White, you would have probably hit it. And that's what you got to do here. Head over to Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest, most exciting way to play DFS, like you said. It's you against the numbers. You pick more or less. That's it. More or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Perfect time to sign up right now. The tournament is about to start. You're going to have nonstop action beginning on Thursday. You got nonstop action starting now on the Garden Report with the play-in game. As you see, you can vote. It's pinned in the chat. Our play-in tournament right now. We'll put up the bracket again as soon as we're done telling you all about Prize Picks, and we do urge you to sign up if you want to get in on the daily fantasy action. Super more. Easy to sign up. Really, really, yeah, and go more. Go less on NBA stuff because of the officiating. Go more on everything. More. It's more fun to root for more.
So here's
download the app. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Download that app today. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Do it now. Get in on the action. What's up, Jimmy? So what happened? What happened to Tatum? Where did he just? He just felt like watching the rest of the game. What? He was on fire. His top five Tatum, as you like to say, Sherrod. And then he just kind of was like, "I'm cool. You guys can take it from here."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that
he also had some good moments defensively, but he just stopped shooting. I mean, he didn't take a shot in the third quarter.
He just I think it was just that simple that he just was out there playing solid defense. And I will say this: his defense was consistent throughout. There was no letdown on that end, which is great to see. Because if Tatum is going to basically take a half off or take a quarter off and not do any shots, make sure you do a good job defensively, which I thought he did. I just think that he felt very comfortable that there was no way Milwaukee was going to make this game a comeback win for them. And when it became close, you saw down the stretch, Tatum was just like, okay, I got to finish this. A couple free throws, finishing at the rim. They're up by 7 with about a minute 38 left to play. And they just made the free throws down the stretch and got the win. Tatum, it's hard for me to be mad or critical of him because I love what he did defensively in this game. I love the fact that he was
awesome.
Steady. Yeah, and he made big plays. I mean, particularly not just the statistic-driven plays, but like being in the right position, contesting shots, forcing guys to make mistakes, little things that you love to see from your best player if you're a Celtics fan. So. It was a good night for Tatum. I have no issues with him taking a quarter
he's fine.
Off.
I think he settled.
I like the way he started.
The Bucks
more
defense,
than
the Bucks else. Defense ramped up a little bit in the second half on him too. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I mean I care more about the way he started the game. You know, coming off a game off, didn't really skip a beat at all, and he came out and he was him and Pritchard were the two guys that really got hot to start things off and set the tone tonight. And so, yeah, third quarter maybe let the game sort of come to him a little bit, and by that I mean let it come to his teammates. And like you said earlier, John, you know, he didn't take off defensively. He didn't take off any part of that game. I think he just said, you know what, we've got a comfortable lead right now. I'm just gonna be a little bit more passive, get other guys involved, and just make a difference on the defensive end. But love the way he came out in the first quarter. You know, pretty hot from all over the court, and yeah, Pritchard, Sherrod. Was like the Robin out there.
We'll spend some time on Pritchard. One of the cool things about Tatum, the pull up game is just completely been different lately.
Pull up game strong,
and it does open everything up because it's such a threat when you can do it. He'd been doing it at such a horrible clip, such an inefficient clip. It wasn't just not his best shot; it was for a while, dating back to last year and the early part of this year, one of the worst shots in basketball, just extremely inefficient. And now he's striping it with those pull-up threes. You know, so that changes things a lot, you know, because I still, you know, I don't love them going up, right? But they're going in now. Yeah.
So you're learning to love them. You learn to love them.
I'm learning to love it.
Well, they're a lot easier to love when they're falling, John.
Yeah, I know.
When they love you back, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And as a southpaw myself, I love the left-handed finishes. I mean, Tatum is looking damn good finishing with the left. And not only is he finishing, but he's doing it during crunch time. I mean, that's, to me, that is some serious growth on his part, because Tatum, early in his career, it was as if he was playing a lot of games with one hand. He wasn't, you know, he would go to his left and he'd shoot it with his right, never ever really finishing with that left hand. And now he just a muscle memory thing. So his growth, again, and think about it. He basically took a quarter off offensively and still running with 31 points. I mean, he's a special talent. He really is a special talent.
But let's get on to our boy PP here, because that is the story of the game. Not only was he hitting shots and hitting like clutch shots, but rebounds, a little bit of everything. He was phenomenal tonight. Phenomenal.
Feisty. I mean, that one offensive rebound where he got fouled by Brook Lopez, and just that kind of that stare down that he gave Brook for just a half second. You love that. How does that feel if you're 7 feet tall and this maybe 6 foot dude ties you up for offense and you're forcing fouling? That's just, I mean, just mind blowing. Pritchard, I loved everything about his game today. Shot making, decision making, his defense, rebounding. I mean, this was as complete a game as you're going to get from Pritchard.
But it comes back to like, yeah, everyone's going to pop off for a game here and there. It really comes down to the conversation we had the other day. The trust factor in the playoffs, you know, is he firmly in the, like,
the circle of trust? You know,
but beyond that, like the playoff circle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
By default, yes. Anyways, but also he's earned it. You know,
I think he's earned it, not by default.
But for real, he's averaging 21 minutes a game in the regular season. You over under, what is he getting in the playoffs on the average?
15.
Yep.
Under for sure, but
yeah, I think
15 minutes.
I'll co-sign on Jimmy's number.
Yeah. Get some minutes to end the first and to start the second. You know, same with, you know, maybe the third and the fourth. Same sort of pattern there. They're going to cut it. I mean, John, every starter's minutes is going to increase. So by, you know, his are going to decrease. That's just the way it's going to be. But yeah, that doesn't mean he's out of the, you know, the circle of trust.
Can you make an impact in 12 minutes?
Tightening up the rotation. Yeah, you can.
You can, yeah. But you can also play so poorly in your first five that no, they don't want to give you the next six or seven.
This is true. I don't think it'll happen with him, though.
But you don't think so, Sherrod? You think he's in?
I think he's in. I think he's going to be in that 15-ish minute range. And if they're beating teams in the playoffs the way they're doing it in a regular season, he's going to be close to 20, because the game's going to be so out of reach that the Jrue Holidays of the world are going to be on the bench. You know, in the fourth quarter or a significant part of the fourth quarter, because the game is already pretty much decided. So I think at a minimum, he's going to see around 15 minutes, because I think he's earned it. And I think they see the value that he brings. But there will be some nights where the matchup will not be in his favor, or one that he can't necessarily exploit as well as they would like. And those are the nights where he might play maybe 10 minutes. And then comes back the next game, and he'll play 20, 25. And then it averages out, it's going to be about 15.
I don't know how you don't play him right now. Like,
you are.
We were talking about, like, should he have closed tonight? Like, should he have been in the closing lineup?
I mean, I think you earned the right to be there.
Could have made the case ahead, for that. Definitely.
I think you absolutely could have.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, the way he was playing, the way his shot was falling, his effectiveness, I can't see him being that big of a liability in a short amount of time in the playoffs where they would say, all right, get Pritchard out of there. You know, don't forget, he's still going to be in the game with three other starters at the time, you know, give or take. Because again, the rotations are going to be tightening up there. It's not going to be an all bench lineup that he's out there with.
Not a minute of Luke, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And so I see him being fine. And like Sherrod,
what did you
said,
say, John?
There might be a like matchup I said, guy, but
after round one, you're not seeing Luke again. I'm telling you that.
Yeah, of course.
You got 9 minutes tonight.
38 minutes or whatever, then we're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tillman got 14.
He did, and Tillman was also a mixed bag. I don't, offensively is weird. And also you got cute and went Luke and Tillman in the fourth quarter when things started to get away a little bit there. That was a little bit much. I think they were just hoping they could shut it down without having to get KP back in the game, but they did. He didn't look great. He looked a little off. He missed some shots he should probably hit, but that offensive rebound was freaking was brilliant late in the game. He just came out of nowhere. I mean, you don't come out of nowhere when you're 7-2, but like the reach back on that and to pull it out of the air was terrific. We were talking about our guy, Pritchard. He was talking in the locker room not too long ago. Let me see if I can get that. Pritchard, once again, terrific game, 19 points, 7 of 11 field goals, 5 of 8 three-pointers. Here he is talking to our boy, Amit, in the Celtics locker room.
What went through your mind when Pat Bev did the two-score?
Who did he do it to? Like when he scored? Was it to me? Or I remember him. I remember seeing it, but I don't know. It kind of lit a little fire in me.
Did you take it personally, even though it may not have been directly?
Yeah, I feel like he's trying to clown one of our teammates, so definitely took it a little personal.
What did that spark in you on the floor?
To bring more energy, bring more dog to it. I mean, I think that's what he prides himself on, so trying to bring more than him.
Do you enjoy games like that when it gets chippy?
100%. I think it brings the best out of people, the biggest competitors, so.
Is there more dog in Peyton Pritchard than there is Pat Beverly?
Oh, I think so. He got that dog in him.
What, John?
That's pee party right there.
I want to find out. Because Patrick Beverly is one of the best at getting in, playing those Jedi mind tricks to get you out of your game. And Pritchard, he's got a little pit bull in him. I mean, the way he was – this was one of those games where Pritchard, I think, was a little bit more emotionally engaged than he normally is. And I think part of that is because Beverly was getting to him a little bit, and he felt like, you know what, I'm not taking this from anyone. I'm pushing back. That was really good to see. That was really good to see. I would love – I mean, I think we're destined to see these two meet at some point in the playoffs. I think it has to happen.
Beverly does have that crazy annoying gene. I think he just gives off this pheromone. Like, he gets in the game, and Jaylen Brown immediately, he got the ball, and he's like, oh, this motherfucker, I'm backing this dude down. You know, like, he's like, I want to score on this guy. This guy came in, and he thinks he's checking me. Like, he immediately makes you want to do harm to him every single time he's in the game.
I mean, Pat Bev makes no friends out there. He doesn't try to. And he'll get under your skin as soon as he can.
I mean, he's the perfect fit for what Doc wants to do with that bench. And just because remember, one of Doc's big lines when he was in Boston was, you know, I love to have agitators. There are few who are better at agitating in the NBA than Patrick Beverly.
Right.
That's literally why he's still in the NBA. You take that quality away from him. What is he bringing you if he's not agitating?
It's kind of funny, too, because Pat Bev is usually like the smallest guy out there on the court, like
with the loudest mouth.
Yeah,
with the loudest
for him to do the too small, that's pretty funny.
He's doing his job.
I'll say that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, real quick, we're gonna throw this back up here, and just to let you know, the Garden Report bracket is live. We are voting in the top half of the Hermann Gomez region. The 1 versus 8 is going right now. In a short while, it will turn around, and you will have a chance to vote on the 4-5 matchup, which should be a barn burner. Joe Sway's fax machine against He's Your Third Center. The Twitter polls will be up live all week long on our Celtics Twitter handle as well. Amit will inform me when he pulls the trigger and changes it. And that is that. Celtics, again, taking down the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis tonight, 122-119. It wasn't really that close, but Celtics made it interesting late. Back on the Pritchard conversation, guys. I know it sounds generic, but like, I have way more confidence in him than I've ever had. You know, like, I expect good things now. It's not, we talk about those guys on the bench outside of the big six as surviving bench minutes. I'm actually looking forward to Pritchard's minutes right now.
Wow.
The way he's been playing. I really do. I really do. His playmaking, I think, has taken his reads and his playmaking has kicked up. I used to just feel that hopefully he won't get exposed on defense. And if he knocks down a three or two, then his minutes were solid. I think he's making lots of contributions. I think we've talked about it a bit. His on-ball defense is extremely underrated. Sure, you can hunt for him on mismatches, but he's annoying and he stays in front of people. He does a really good job hounding the basketball out on the perimeter, and he fights through screen. I think he does an excellent job. He really is pretty good there moving his feet. But he's just playing like a guy who like feels like he belongs out there, as opposed to a guy who's hoping that like, I hope I don't do bad and lose my, you know, my second half minutes in this first little stint here. I've liked everything about him since the last, I don't know what the cutoff date is, but the last couple of months, I think he's just been a different dude.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's figured out how he has to play to be impactful for the Celtics. And, you know, scoring is obviously a part of what he does. But to me, it's the little things. His defense and his rebounding, to me, are as important, if not more important, than his scoring. I mean, think about this. He's probably their second best rebounder off the bench behind Al. And I'm not even sold on him necessarily being the number two in that regard. Because, you know, for a 6-foot guy, he gets his hands on a lot of balls. And he doesn't just get the long rebounds. I mean, he actually mixes it up with the big fellas. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Lopez was like, yeah. I mean, I think Lopez was like, wait a minute. Who the hell is this dude trying to get this damn rebound from me? And Ashley does get it from him. So he's doing so many little things, John, and I think that's why most of us are more comfortable with him, because before it seemed that if he's not making shots, what the hell is he giving you? Now he's giving you a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Louise, I got to tell you, those are the kind of takes you throw out there that make me want to say bad things about Jalen. I'm just telling you. Okay?
We have to put Louise on blast for that one. about Pritchard that I wanted to add to that, and what I really like about him, and one thing he said to me, not to me, one thing he said that stuck out to me once, somebody asked him just how do you sort of deal with playing time, then, you know, going some stretches maybe without getting playing time. And he just said, I always go back to the work. And what that tells me is that this dude is confident in what he does. He doesn't sulk. He doesn't cry about things. He just works off, you know, off the court, you know, practice, extra time after practice, constantly believing that he belongs here and that he deserves to be here. And by putting in all that work and by just trusting himself, now he is in a position where the John Zanis actually trusts him too, which is hard to believe. Yeah, so
I know.
It's all paid off for him.
I'm not a trusting guy.
All that work, he finally got the John Zanis stamp.
Zanis stamp of approval.
Which is hard to get.
Yeah, it is. I'm not a trusting guy. So yes, it is definitely hard to get.
But he's earned it. It's paying off for him because he is definitely a part of this team. And you know, I think his teammates are, you know, we used to joke, John, that, you know, Tatum and Brown didn't even know half the guy, like Neesmith, for example. Like, who is this guy like on this team? Like, what's he doing on the court? It doesn't look familiar.
Hey, they brought in another 10 day.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you don't get that impression with Pritchard. He's, you know, he is in on this team. He is in the rotation. And yeah, his minutes are gonna decrease a little bit in the playoffs, as everyone I think expects. But that's not really a knock on him. That's just the way it's gonna be when the minutes of Brown and Tatum go up to 40, and same with Holiday, and same with, you know what I mean? The stars are gonna play more. So it is.
Trust him. You know what else I trust, Jimmy?
I don't.
Nutrafol.
Okay.
Another one of our sponsors here on the Garden Report.
Speaking of,
what do you need it for, Jimmy? What do you need Nutrafol for?
These luscious locks right here.
Luscious Locks, I use it, so should you, okay? This isn't everybody's hair journey is different. So don't worry about whether you're losing it now or whether you just want to keep what you have or you have a little bit falling out. Mm-hmm. Nutrafol takes care of all of it. You don't have to choose between hair growth and hair health. Nutrafol's drug-free whole body approach promotes hair growth from within. No compromises, just better hair. You don't have to wait for it to happen. Hair thinning. I feel bad doing this read in front of Sherrod all the time. We didn't get it to him fast enough. That's what happened.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Sherrod looks good bald. Me, he not does. So much. I need Nutrafol.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hair thinning is not difference. Inevitable. So you can fight it. Clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. 80% of men at one point or another are going to have to deal with it. So all you have to do, don't deal with it. Deal with Nutrafol. Go to Nutrafol.com/men, promo code GARDEN. Okay. That's all
don't
you have
wait.
To do.
Promo don't code wait GARDEN. Until it's too late.
First month subscription, $10 off and free shipping. That's all you do. Nutrafol.com/men. And use the code GARDEN. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Shipping. Mm-hmm. Free shipping. It's all you need, right?
That's it.
That's all you
I
need.
I like it. Sounds good to me.
Speaking I am told Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla did something.
What did he do?
If you guys think Jason Tatum didn't do well, that means Joe Mazzulla thought he did great.
Who thinks so he didn't do well?
No, I'm saying when Tatum disappeared, he didn't really disappear. Joe is here to tell us he did everything else well. And you know what? We did give him credit for it with the defense and all of that stuff. But particularly down the stretch when they needed the buckets, he got them what they needed, no doubt about it. Mazzulla talking about the Tatum effect tonight.
The guys did a great job organizing the spacing versus the zone, which forced them to get distorted a little bit. And I thought his poise and his decision-making down the stretch, his ability to just be patient through the zone. Obviously, they're playing it to throw us off rhythm and get to different things. And I thought we got some good looks against the zone. I thought there were a couple plays that didn't go our way. But I thought Jason's poise down the stretch of getting to the free throw line, getting to the spot that he wanted was a key to the game. And that and then our defensive intensity as a team.
The defense was good.
It was.
No doubt about it. Yeah. It sounded like during our absence, Draymond Green did something bad.
Oh, yeah. Boy. What did he do?
A shoving match?
Oh, no. Not Draymond. What?
Yeah. Hard to know here. And a coach went down.
What? Side note. You went after a coach?
No, just in the scuffle.
Oh, whatever. I ain't talking about Draymond. F that guy. Annoying. He's got his own podcast. He'll tell you all about it on his own podcast.
Yeah. There's not just
LeBron's got a podcast now with Reddick. How about that? We should talk about that little clip at the end of the show.
This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Oh, yeah. We did there. And we will talk about Joe Mazzulla as well and what he did, what he didn't do. Well, we'll tell you right now. You know what Joe's not allowed to do anymore? He can't block shots anymore.
Yes, he said that today on the Sports Hub, right?
He was told, don't try and block shots. We don't know if it was the league or it was Brad. Who do you think, Sherrod? We don't know. He was told not to.
I'm gonna guess.
That's all we know. We know he's not. He's not doing it again.
Why the hell does Brad care? I'm gonna guess it was the league.
Yeah, I want to go with the league. It sounds like something that they would, and they would do it through Brad. Like the league contact Brad. Brad go to Joe.
That could be. They didn't fine him, or you know, they didn't fine him, or
we're not going to embarrass him with a statement or a fine, but right, like. Exactly.
Brad, talk to him. Just talk to him, Brad.
Get your mans in line. He's out here trying to block shots.
Yeah, like come on. We can't.
Like there's no rule against this because it's so outlandish. So technically, he didn't break any rules. But come on, like let's get this guy under control here.
Yeah. So what do we do now for the next however many games? It's an 11 game lead now.
With 13 games left. So the magic number.
Let's see more Tillman. A little more Tillman. A little more Luke.
You're going to play Tillman until he knocks down a corner three. I mean, I think he's had one, but.
Keep shooting. We got cushion. We got games to play with. I mean, they can just basically have glorified practices for the rest of the season for the most part. Their lead isn't going to significantly be diminished. I just don't see Milwaukee looking as though they're going to make a run to close the gap because it's what, 14 games left or something like that, 13, 14 games left, and they've got an 11-game cushion. So they're in good shape. They're in extremely good shape to just wrap this thing up and just get their bench guys some reps and try to hopefully get your, in case of an emergency crew, the stay-ready crew, to keep the stay-ready crew ready. Good.
Yeah, I think there'll be some. I think we will see a little bit more experimenting. I do think, to Joe's credit, I think he's trying to figure out what to do with Tillman and how best to use him, because he does some good things, but the lineups tend to not be effective when he's out there. And I think that has to do with some spacing issues, and just offensively, they're not really sure. They want him out there. His two shots tonight are in the corner. With corner threes, it's just not his game. So I don't know. I don't think they know exactly what to do with him there. But, you know, you really wish you could just have him play defense. He's so freaking good at it. And you wouldn't think it. You wouldn't think a guy with his body type, who isn't all that athletic in the sense of he's not an explosive athlete. He's not like, you know, a big leaper or whatever. But his lateral, his ability to stay with guys of all sizes is really incredible. He can really guard 1 through 5 on the perimeter, which is insane for someone with his physical makeup. And he's got quick hands. He had an incredible steal there in that first stint. They put him in the first half. He's a really, really, really good defender, which I think can have value. They got to figure out what they're doing with him offensively, though. Or how to play them and with which lineups.
Yeah, and that's going to be trial by error, or you know, to figure that out. And they're going to screw it up. They're going to make mistakes. I think the lineup that you don't want to see is him and Luke together. I just think that's just an absolute train wreck when those two are on the floor together. Don't like that at all. But look what he can do with the Peyton Pritchards and the Sam Houses and the Tatums and the Browns, and just figure out where is he most impactful. Because he does have some skills and some unique qualities about him that will benefit you. But I think a lot of reason behind why those lineups he plays with aren't working is because the guys in those lineups, they all don't know how to play together. Remember, I mean, it took a while for Luke to get to the
point
where
– But they keep double-bigging him.
And I don't know why.
Why don't you try to small ball five him? You know, like I'd like to see that. And I'm not sure whether they've tried it for small stints, but I feel like you're seeing a lot of, you're pairing him up with Horford a lot. And then tonight, I think, you know, Joe was just trying to catch his guys a breather by playing him and Cornette together. I don't think that that's what he necessarily wanted to do there in the fourth. By design, I think it was just hoping. But I think you're seeing him in a lot of double big lineups. And I admit, maybe that's not it. Doris, by the way, absolutely just bodied Cornette in the first. I don't know whoever watched the ESPN broadcast over the whatever. But Tillman was in there and she got a steal. And she said something to the effect of like, Luke Cornette can't do that. You know, like basically.
Love it.
Yikes.
She got the death stare from Bobby. She got the death stare from Bobby on that one.
Is Tillman her new Time Lord? She used to goo goo gaga over Time Lord too. But now he's gone. Never to be seen again, I guess. But
he's in Portland,
he's a bag of chips, apparently. According to some.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The bag of chips. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Horford lineups have been fine, I guess, and I understand the benefit of the double big because one of those other guys, whether it's Horford or Porzingis, can shoot and he can't. And he's not a dynamic enough rim, but it's just a different look, you know. But yeah, you're right. The small ball five, when that five can't really shoot. Again, I don't think there's a perfect thing. I think what they're doing now is just in spurts. You just throw him out there 4 or 5 minutes and then you just, you know, he gives you what he's got, and that's going to be consistently good defense and decent touch around the rim and good hands if he ever gets the ball anywhere close in there. But that's probably it. I still think there's a spot for him in the playoffs.
Yeah, but again, how big? You know, limited minutes to go around there. I still think Cornette's going to get the nod over him in the playoffs. I do, unless something drastically changes over the next 12 games here.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely he's going to have to just play out of his mind to, I think, jump past Luke. And I just don't see that happening because I don't think his game is built to be that type of impact player. I think he's more of a slow drip impact guy. He's going to do a little this, little that, and he's going to help you, but he's not going to go out there and get you 20 points and 10, 15 rebounds or 6, 7 blocks and steals and all that other stuff. He's just going to get a bucket here and there, play good defense, be really good. And when they're switching everything up and keep himself between the man with the ball and the rim, just the little things that, again, you need guys to come in and play the role that they're cast to play. But his role is a small one. And I think he's going to fulfill that role, but I don't think it's going to expand much beyond what we've been seeing.
You're going to get this. If the starters are going to be playing more, they're going to go to Hauser and Al, because you're going to already have the starters in there. That's just how it's going to be. You know, Hauser's not even, you know, we haven't even thought about Hauser because he didn't play tonight because he's still coming back from his ankle, but he's going to eat up some of those minutes too. So,
yeah.
I mean, you've got three guys coming off the bench already that you expect to be in the game, and Horford, Hauser, and Pritchard. You're not doing 9-man rotations.
I know. I'm changing my stance a little. You're going to be fine. Like, I'm not scared. I'm scared to death of Luke. So I just I don't think he plays. I think you're pretty fine 1 through 8 at this point. And I actually think you're fine throwing Tillman in 5 minutes at a time just to do whatever, you know. I'm still scared of Luke. Even though he's playing well, he really is. I'm just scared of him in the playoffs. He's playing really well. He really is.
He can play enough.
I mean, he didn't do anything tonight.
He deserves the question that you asked about Pritchard. You know, is he capable of hurting you? And I think, again, Joe has to know when to yank him if that's the case. But I don't think he's going to play enough to really hurt you. I really don't.
Yeah. Real quick, we're going to update right now. The round one voting, at least in the show, is over in game one. Thanasis Manning, as expected, in a blowout. Over is that a tie? Over on our main YouTube channel.
Twitter? But the Twitter poll is going to be going for a while.
The Twitter poll keeps going. It was 71-29, and then in the Celtics one, about the same, 72-28. In that ballpark. So, that a tie? It looks like it's not going to make it unless you guys really get after it on Twitter.
It's not supposed put in to your make votes. It, realistically.
It's not supposed
to make it. It was a play-in team. It has no business.
It's a play-in team. It's not supposed to make it. Bobby Manning is supposed to make it. He is here.
There he is.
He is live. He's out of the Celtics locker room. Or Bucks locker room for that matter, and is here to report on stuff.
Thanasis.
Did you talk to Thanasis?
No, I didn't see him. I wanted him along the sideline, though.
I've never seen Thanasis and Bobby in the same room, actually, now that I think about it.
Just a a tough one, guys. I feel like both teams came out of this one saying that there's not much to take from it, which makes sense. No Giannis. The Celtics even felt like with some of their guys out, they didn't really see anything in this game that made them think differently about this matchup or what it could look like down the line, or even their execution down the stretch in this one. Joe didn't overreact to some of the stuff that happened late. He did say there's going to be like 5-10 possessions you got to look at there when the lead collapsed, as they often do. But they got out of it. And yeah, I was worried, Jimmy, when it got down to three. They haven't been great in that spot. 3 under 3 minutes, start 11-9, I believe, coming into the night in that situation. So you're flipping a coin at that point. And Bucks did get some good looks down the stretch. Portis, Lillard got one more three off. Those both could have tied the game and pulled within two, respectively. But credit to Tatum. I thought the Celtics got stagnant for a couple possessions there, and he pulled them out of it, attacking Beasley. And as I've said, Jimmy, there's just so many guys you can take advantage of on that Bucks defense, and the Celtics did it all night.
Is that maybe one of the things you guys can take out of this game, is the way that the Celtics were able to execute down the stretch and not, completely blow the fourth quarter lead? And you mentioned Tatum. I think maybe the Bucks bailed him out a tiny bit on that last possession. I mean, why foul there?
Well, that was Brown, right? Where he hit the free throws.
Yeah, that was Brown. Yeah. And good for him. Good for Brown for hitting them. But why did that was just a bonehead play, right? I mean,
over aggressive. Maybe you felt like after you missed the first two that you could foul there and get away with it. What was the score at that point? It was
a 2-point game.
Yeah, that was really bad.
And they had, I think there was a differential of around 10 seconds.
I think it was 3 because it went up to 5, and then it went up to 7 on Tatum score the next possession.
After Portis missed his free throw, it was a 2-point game. Celtics had the ball, dribbled it down, and I believe they got fouled.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaylen, right?
Whatever. Yeah, Jaylen hit them both, and then Bucks called the timeout and missed, and then we went to the other stuff. But anyways, point being is Celtics were able to execute down the stretch there, or in the final minute and a half, let's say. Which was necessary, because you did not want to be talking about a loss tonight. But the fact that they were able to sort of gather themselves, Bobby, and pull this one off.
Yeah, and I said it to you guys. They took a risk to start the fourth, going with Tillman Cornette, another experimental lineup, and it came back to bite them pretty quickly there. A couple bad possessions, really bad spacing, cut it to 15. Then you're talking about offensive rebounding, which was a problem throughout this game. I feel like that's a sneaky, if I'm stacking up issues for the Celtics going into the playoffs, giving up offensive rebounds in some timely spots, especially when they try to go small, or Porzingis is out there, that can get them into some trouble sometimes. And I thought that was a big part of what got the Bucks back into this game, were those second chance opportunities. That's certainly what got Bobby Portis going. Mm-hmm. A few things to clean up. You're nitpicking here and there. I do think they played with fire a little bit, rolling with Porzingis as often as they did in this game. I mean, the Bucks were really able to, take advantage of the way they would drop their bigs. And even Horford in this game carried a heavy load, trying to stick with Lillard at times. So it's an interesting matchup. The Bucks can do some stuff offensively that at least – gives them the firepower to hang with Boston a little bit, go on some runs, but you still end up down by 21 in this game. You still face double-digit deficits throughout, and they just can't defend Jimmy Sherrod. I don't trust them because they don't have a defensive basis that they can hang their hat on, and you need that to go deep in the playoffs. I was telling Joe Sway, this team's going to have trouble with the Cavs. This team's going to have trouble with the Sixers. This team's going to have trouble with anybody they play. And you look at Lillard's exploits and what they do offensively, it bails them out at times. But, man, they had nowhere to hide Lillard in this one. Beasley in the starting lineup, to me, is just doesn't stack up against a lineup like the Celtics. Lopez gets put on the perimeter at times. I thought they really took him out of this game, too. Credit to Portis and Beverly and some of those other guys who give you a little something there deeper on the roster. But they're thin. I mean, this game kind of got decided, Jimmy, by a Svi Mihailuk, Luke Kornet lineup that just cooked the Bucks in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And, sent it to a double-digit game. So I don't trust the Bucks. I really don't trust them.
You don't trust the Bucks, but we'll bring in Joe Sway here for a second. Welcome, Joe Sway. Bobby doesn't trust the Bucks, but what did the – of course, we always miss you. What did the Bucks do in the fourth quarter to come back?
Dame time.
Played the clock. Oh, Dame time.
Gotcha. Yeah, played the clock too.
No, Dame time. Okay.
I mean, look, that's what this team does. You know, when the defense isn't up to par, they got a double digit deficit that's on the lighter mm-hmm. side. Dame goes off. I mean, they've won a handful of games this way, and I thought tonight, I mean, that was what it looked like was going to happen. I never got the feeling that the Celtics were going to actually blow it at the end, but I just thought this, like, I kept turning to Bobby. Here we go. You know, back-to-back threes from Lillard. Like, this is going to come down to the wire. And if you ask me, both head coaches got probably exactly what they asked for. I mean, maybe Doc would have preferred a win, obviously. But, I mean, if you look at the way things played out in that fourth quarter, this is a confidence builder, you know? And if you're Joe Mazzulla, you didn't want to see a blowout win. You want to see these guys fight and get in these type of situations that we saw at the end of the fourth quarter and see Jason Tatum go to the rack in back-to-back possessions, got to the free throw line, got a layup, you know, put the Bucks away for good in the sense of putting together that, you know, two possession lead when things matter most. But yeah, I mean, look, I just think that the Bucks got a lot more confidence from this game, but the Celtics have to just stick to who they are, you know? And I don't think that they really strayed away from that much in this game outside of those lapses that happened in the fourth quarter with Dame.
What Doc have to say, Josue?
Pretty much everything I just said, you know, the confidence thing, talking about the Celtics, how they've been, which I thought was a bit of not as relevant compared to what the team that we're seeing right now. But he talked about, you know, the five conference finals appearances and one NBA finals. And he says, look, the Bucks, they're going to get there. You know, he's confident that they're going to do the same thing. And that it just sounds like he's confident these two teams are going to meet again. And again, you know, I just think this was that type of game where Doc didn't want Giannis out there. You know, or at least he wanted his team, if they could compete with the Celtics, even if they're shorthanded, and if the Celtics have Tatum and Brown playing, even better, because that's going to build all the confidence for these guys. You know, the zone defense, he talked about that. He saw a lot of success there. He gave a lot of props to Peyton Pritchard for the second unit, just a lot of just their lapses on defense throughout that first half. He just looked Pritchard happened. That's what happened when he explained it. And then just that the pattern of having to battle back and under a you know, to always have to play catch up. He thought that really took a lot of energy out of them. But of course, the fourth quarter was encouraging. Bobby Portis, what he did out there, you know, his mm-hmm. confidence. He thought that Bobby wanted everything to happen quickly in that first half. You know, Portis, and he thought that he really calmed down and focused throughout that second half. And he was a huge part. You can make a case he was just as important as Dame Lillard in that fourth quarter.
Great to see Doc. Love Doc.
Sure. Yeah, big smiles from Doc, man. Doc had fun tonight.
Sherrod, you said in the beginning of the show that the Bucks, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You say the Bucks don't scare you or that you don't respect the Bucks. Something on the lines of the Bucks are not a team that you're concerned about. Is that
no, accurate? I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about them. I don't think they're trash. I just don't worry about them.
Because
and then we've talked about this before. They have two major holes on their roster, and the Celtics have The Celtics are not the kind of team that you want to play with two major holes on your roster. Beasley is too small, Lillard too small, and doesn't defend. And the Celtics are going to spend a sizable chunk of finding ways to exploit that matchup because Lillard's going to play 40 minutes. Beasley's probably going to play, you know, fairly high minutes as well. So, what are you going to ask, Jimmy?
Well, to that point, and you're singling out Lillard on the defensive side of things, but that same Lillard is probably the reason that this was a game late. Yeah. So my question to you is, are the Bucks more dangerous this year, even though the record might show it or they've been up and down season, are they more dangerous this year than they have been in past years because of the addition of Lillard and their ability with, let's say Giannis is in the game too, with Giannis and Lillard, you have arguably the best 1-2 punch in the NBA. No lead is safe, I feel, with those two guys on the court. And so we kind of saw that in a little preview of it, maybe, in the fact that Lillard got so hot, as Josue mentioned. But is that something that Celtics should be concerned about or at least aware of? Is that, hey, guys, like, we're up 10 right now with 4 minutes to go. Let's keep our foot on the gas because it within 30 seconds, this could be a one-possession game.
Yeah, I mean, the awareness factor is a big deal because you're dealing with Lillard, one of the best players in the NBA, one of the best deep ball shooters in the NBA. If you know, take Steph Curry out of the picture for just a brief moment, and is there a better deep ball shooter than Lillard if you take Curry out of the picture for a minute? Probably not. He's certainly on the short list. And so that, to me, is why you never should be comfortable against a team like Milwaukee. Because even though you know you're better than them, you know you have some things that they can't really match up well with, they still have guys that can absolutely destroy you with the long ball and get into a rhythm. I mean, Bobby Portis got into a great rhythm. You know, Lillard, I thought, had one of his more efficient games against the Celtics in terms of shot making and just not just chucking up shots. So, awareness is a big part of dealing with a team like Milwaukee for the Boston Celtics.
That is one thing, Jimmy, I'll concede with them. Mm-hmm. They never stop. And I've always said that about Giannis, even going into that series a couple of years ago where I really liked the Bucks. He's never going to stop until the final seconds tick off the clock there. I mean, this is a three-point game in the end because the Bucks never stop. He's not even out there. Lillard, you see, does the same thing. He's just going to keep shooting those threes. He's just going to keep pushing the ball up the floor. And if you fall asleep as the Celtics, this game to me says more about the Celtics than the Bucks, obviously, because of Giannis's absence here. They slowed down, and Joe acknowledged that the zone slowed them down, that they had a lapse to begin the fourth, and that could have easily came back to bite them. I mean, I texted you guys, and I said I thought the Celtics were going to blow this one, especially when it got to three with three to go. So they definitely dodged a bullet here. And as much as I have problems like Sherrod, like Josue here, about that roster makeup in Milwaukee, you do have two guys who you have to fear and respect. And that's something you can't say about really any other team in the East, at least at that level. So Doc said a pregame, Jimmy. I think he put it this way exactly. They're going to be a tough out. They're going to be really tough to beat. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I'll say about them is that they could steal a game or two. Joe Sway said to me during the game is that this is how they've won games all year. You look at that 44-25 record, and there's been all of this hoopla about the Bucks this year and like how bad they've been. And people are like, they're 44-25. What are people talking about?
Right.
They scrap out games. They come flying back from behind. They win in crunch time. This would have been a very Bucks win if they won tonight. So that's what you have to fear, especially when the Celtics have lost games in the opposite direction of going up big, falling asleep, slowing down, and getting away from what they did that worked.
Yeah, for sure. You got anything to add, Josue, to that?
No, I was just going to say, I just think the biggest reason I wasn't concerned down the stretch was because I'm like, man, this isn't the same team from last year, you know, between Kristaps and between just the way that these guys are much more efficient, you know, in the fourth quarter. I know we give them a hard time for their poor execution or at least not doing what got them in that spot or what got them a big lead that a lot of the times or the times that they have blown big leads turn into L's. I mean, I just think so this played a much smarter approach in this game, you know. And I think when you look at the way the Bucks were trying to manipulate, you know, things, I just feel like it's just Dame can do that. You know, he can tie this thing up in a hurry. And when Bobby Portis was going off the way he was, I'm like, okay, if this thing goes into OT, you know, wouldn't have shocked me. But again, I never really got the sense that the Celtics were going to shoot themselves in the foot. I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, you always got the sense that they were going to make the right decisions. And that starts and ends with their leaders, of course, and Tatum and Brown. Tatum with the two drives and Jaylen Brown correcting those missed free throws with a pair of big ones that made it a two-possession game at the end. So I just think that type of stuff, it matters in these situations. It matters when you're playing against the second-best team in the Eastern Conference when you've been holding the top spot since last year, right, since before January. So I just think all that stuff is what – makes Joe Mazzulla feel better as opposed to the Celtics won by 20, you know, against these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they can, you know, figure out how to defend them. And you mentioned Jaylen Brown, Josue. I think we got a clip here from Jaylen after the game that I'm going to toss up. Hopefully it works. I don't usually do it, but we'll give it a chance here. Here we go.
I like the way that the game has been called like a little bit looser since the All-Star break.
Personally, I like it. I think that shit's good, but they can't just call it like that and then give certain players touch fouls. Like, okay, you're going to call the game tight and, like, let a lot of stuff go. But if it's a superstar player, I'm going to give him a touch foul. Like, keep it consistent, you know what I mean, for everybody. And I feel like that's where the balance needs to be had because that makes sense to me. If you're going to let us play, let us play. Don't let us play. And then because it's a little bit more attention on one of the star players, I'm going to call a touch foul. Like, make it make sense.
Okay, so this is interesting, and I'm glad that we have that clip, because the one thing, and for those wondering, they're talking about how the officiating has changed a bit since the All-Star break. So what basically it seemed what was happening was the game was being called way too heavily favoring the offense. Points were getting out of control. Free throws were going up, and it was swinging way too far in one direction. Since the All-Star break, it appears that maybe the referees have been told to lay off on the whistle a little bit more. And so guys are allowed to be more physical. They're calling less fouls. Players are going to the line left, line less. Why this is interesting, guys, especially you know, if we're talking about the Bucks, is because, and this has been my criticism with Giannis's style of play forever, and why I call him boring. What's he do? He drives to the hole, gets to the line, gets fouled. Or sorry, drives to the hole, gets to the hoop, gets fouled, and goes to the line. Then he takes, you know, 10 seconds per shot. But if this style of officiating continues into the playoffs, where they are going to let guys be more physical, that's not good news for a Bucks team that relies on Giannis getting to the line and, you know, driving to the hoop and getting fouled as much as he does. So, you know, just, you know, Sherrod, I'll start with you. Does that change anything from the Bucks perspective, or can we expect the officiating to continue in this trend, or do you think that the whistles will come back out again, you know, once the playoffs come around?
I think you'll see the whistles come out a little bit more. I think they've gone, I think, far removed from what we've seen most of the season, and they'll, I think, look to scale it back and be a little bit more open-minded about making calls come playoff time. Yeah.
Bobby, any thoughts on just like the discrepancy and the officiating, or the difference in the officiating, and how that might affect things in the playoffs, or if it'll affect a team like the Bucks?
Yeah, I was looking at some of those numbers last weekend, and it is interesting. You had no teams attempting under 19 free throws the game before the break, and now you have 11. Celtics have taken a dip too. It's interesting, though, because their offense has actually been better since the break, so it shows that they're not as reliant on free throws, and I think we've talked about that in spots. You know, they're more on the three and shooting and, you know, post-ups and all that kind of stuff. So this hasn't impacted them as adversely. For the Bucks, they averaged 25.6 free throws a game before the break. They're down to 22.1, but they still rank third among teams. So as the scale kind of slides for the whole league, they've remained third. So it hasn't killed them, at least relative to the league here. But fewer overall will take a bite out of their offense, certainly, especially with the way Giannis plays. He's a guy who, certainly, the Bucks, because Giannis, I think, with what the league has put out there is a statement, because they actually put out a memo and said they're trying to react to players initiating contact or veering out of the way of their normal motion to draw contact. I think that, you know, that's not necessarily Giannis to a T, but it is something he does. He charges into traffic and, you know, he'll create contact there. So it will be interesting to see how that's called in a game with him out there. The good thing for the Celtics, though, I feel like, and that, you know, we've said this as a negative with them, is they just don't play a super physical brand of basketball. Like, they're passing,
right?
They're, you know, attacking matchups height wise. Like, you saw Porzingis open going looks after a little bit of points in this game, and, you know, open looks, as Joe Sway says there. So I just haven't seen this impact their offense at all. Like, even just watching Jimmy, like, have you felt like they've missed a beat offensively since all this conversation began? You know, you could probably say that a little bit about the Bucks tonight. Like, they didn't get to the line that much. And I feel like teams across the league have kind of dealt with that. And you saw points in this game where Lopez got really frustrated with the physicality, and some other guys on the team were complaining about calls. You didn't see that as much on the Celtics side. So 14-29 in the end in this game, free throw wise. So the Celtics can have nights where they get to the free throw line a little bit more, but that's not typical. So is that another thing in this game that you're saying, like, that's not going to be the same next time around? Probably, because even with the lower free throw attempts, Jimmy, they're still getting a 22, and they only had 14 tonight. So that's something that could have closed the gap in this game a little bit. My biggest takeaway from this game,
but don't forget they didn't have Giannis going to the line either. So
yeah, my biggest takeaway from this game is that it was close. Like, it got to 20, it got to 18, but the Bucks were always within striking distance. And it feels like that's how every game could be played in this series, Sherrod. As much as you say, and I say, that we're not fearful of this team, keeping games close against the Celtics is a formula for success, I feel like. Like, they want to just blow the other team away and just sort of cruise to victory. And even though, as Josue said, they've been better in crunch time situations, they've shown some strides in that area, if you keep it close, you can be prone to putting some pressure on Boston Lane. That's exactly what happened in this game. They very easily could have lost this game.
Well, that was the pattern throughout the last huge win streak, right? Because they had, for a while, it was like put the team away by the fourth or the middle of the fourth. And then by the 5 or 4 minute mark in that last quarter, you would see the stars on the bench resting. You know what I mean? Like, which is a good thing.
It's been blowout after blowout. Yeah.
It's a testament to the dominance, to how comfortable they've been in holding that number one spot. You know, 10-game advantage. We talk about it, which actually just grew, right? We talk about it all the time. Like, I've never seen something like that. And I recorded podcasts with Cedric Maxwell, and not even during the 80s that was happening. So, Jimmy, you good over there, man?
I did not do that. I don't know what happened there.
That look on your face was made me worry. I thought we were about to get – thought you were going to kick us off the air or something.
No.
I just think going back to what the Celtics been doing, you know, down the stretch, or going back to what I was saying about teams that just had to just do their best just to keep up with the Celtics. I mean, this kind of falls under that category, you know, even though the Celtics obviously won the game and it wasn't maybe as much of a nail biter in the final 20 seconds, but the Bucks did what they had to do to hang around. And then they went for their run. They went for their attack. Mm-hmm. And it was a 3-point game. It was a one possession game at one point, you know? So I just think that's part of it. And if I'm Doc Rivers, I'm certainly reminding my guys in that locker room right after, like that's how close we were. He emphasized that huge 3-pointer by Derek White, said that it was a big mistake on their part, you know, switching on defense. And, well, something made you pay for that, you know, and I just think that's something that they can go back and say, you know, let's make sure that doesn't happen again. However, that doesn't discourage me from picking the Celtics over the Bucks in the postseason. I mean, listen, these guys can have a heck of a run going into the playoffs. If the Celtics remain true to who they are, they'll be fine. However, yeah, to you know, piggyback on Bobby's point here, that is part of it. You know, hang around with these guys, you know, make it a 50-50 game at the end and flip a coin, you might have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's part of who they are in a way, right? That doesn't mean that's going to happen 4 times in the best of 7, but, you know, that's just kind of what we've been seeing.
This is one of the teams that's just going to make them work. I mean, the teams that the Celtics are going to have to go through to get to the playoffs are not going to allow them to cruise. They're going to have to work their asses off to beat these teams. And truth be told, I mean, that's the way it should be. You shouldn't have to easily cakewalk their way through the playoffs. The Celtics are not going to get it. There are no cupcakes that are going to be in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. What is often misleading is if a team wins a series in like 5 games, people say, well, you know, they easily control the series, you know, and then you go back and you realize, you know, maybe 3 of those 5 games came down to the last 30 seconds to determine a winner. And the Celtics just happened to be the better team in those moments. So for them, you know, for the Celtics to have the kind of postseason that they ideally want, they're going to have to figure out a way to take everything they do now and do it significantly better. Because for them to blow out teams in the playoffs the way they were blowing out teams in the regular season, they can't play that way and get that same result. It's just not going to happen. I still think they're going to be the last team standing when everything is said and done, but they're going to have to work for it. They're going to have to work to get to the NBA Finals.
Thanks, my dog. Yeah, Kevin man, is –
you must have some stories.
Kevin's seen some ish. Yeah. I think one thing that's real here too out of this game, and I got to look back at the earlier ones, but they took Porzingis out of this game more than most teams do, with the big man in the lane, forcing him to sit on the perimeter, shoot threes. They're going to bring it to him at the rim to shoot over him while he's standing at the rim. So this was a tough one, and they actually did end up taking him out up 4 with 20 seconds left when the Bucks ran their final possession there. So I was calling for it a little bit earlier, the way Pritchard was playing in this one, go smaller, go start switching, and they did it in the last play there. So I didn't love his game here. How much of it is the hamstring? How much of it is him just getting back into real minutes for the first time here? That's probably some of it, but I do think this is a tough matchup for him. Horford, too. They really had Horford working on the perimeter.
Is it a big man issue?
One of the big,
you can go down the line. Cornette, Hillman, those guys didn't have much of success, at least in the second
half. Yeah, Lopez just standing at the rim is a tough thing for those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
what's
that? No, I think Bucks are a big team. So they're gonna have more success guarding some of those bigger guys. I don't think it's an injury thing for Porzingis. He looked fine on Monday.
No, I don't think that's it. And I'm glad he was there at the end of the game because throw him in there. He's got to get these reps in. Obviously, he'll get some rest days down the stretch. But yeah, I love that he was able to get back in there. But that's something that I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because Doc mentioned that is a bit of that's their advantage. You know, their size and a big reason why he would. Was trying to get Gallo going a bit here. I know Celtics fans probably forgot that Gallinari's on this team, but he had a couple. He had that first drive when he converted. I was like, oh, okay, maybe we're gonna get a little something more. But I think they're hoping for him to get more comfortable with the offense. Maybe he can turn into one of those guys off the bench that can give you just a few shots, few possessions here or there. But size is a big is an advantage for these guys for sure in this particular matchup, and that's something that Doc will continue to explore and try to exploit the Celtics on.
Is bigger always better, Josue?
Most of the time.
Okay, just making sure.
Where's John at, Jimmy?
Did John just quit mid show?
Size matter
in there, like it was a legit follow up question.
Where the hell is John?
You answered it. I don't know, dude. I'm on the show with you. What am I, his keeper? I can't keep track of that guy. It's probably
you were here when he was here.
This is like when the substitute teacher loses control. Like, yo, where's Mr. Zanis? Who the heck
he
is this?
He dipped out and said, "Jimmy, run the show." I was like, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Once the classroom realized that they have more control than they thought, they're like, wait a minute.
Substitute teacher's here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Class over yet? I'm about to bounce.
You guys me and Sherrod have talked about him already, but you guys briefly mentioned Pritchard. Great game for him tonight. Yeah, the way he came out firing. And
I thought this was his best game I've ever seen. Yeah, he was amazing. Okay. It's just the confidence he's playing with right now. We've talked about it with Cornet and some of the other bench guys. Like, they just look like they belong out there in these matchups. And you get into the lane with poise in that first half. I know you guys talked about the Beverly thing and that seemed to really get the bench going. I love that kick out on the last play before the timeout to Shvi, who was a surprise appearance out there as well, and I thought made a few good plays in his short rotation. So this bench, this is why I'm so confident in them, Jimmy. And, if John was here, he'll say this isn't going to happen during the playoffs. But how many times do we have to watch these guys get it done over and over and over again? And obviously it's not going to happen at this level. But Pritchard, I'd say 80% plus of the time he's gotten out there this year has played well. Cornet, same thing. 80% plus of the time he's gone out there this year, he's played well. You can say the same about Hauser, who actually looked pretty good in the locker room today. I got a look at his ankle and didn't look too swelled up. So he was questionable for this game. Seems like he could be back before long too. So his bench is really good. Like, I think we've seen enough at this point against a variety of teams, variety of matchups, and the consistency factor with them has been real. And it's not going to be every single guy every night. In fact, tonight it was mostly Pritchard. Some of the other guys did some things, but it was mostly him driving that bench unit, and he was great.
Jimmy, that comment that you just took off, I think Zach Customer forgot the should we refresh the memory, Jimmy? I mean, game seven in the first round against the Atlanta Hawks against the young Al Horford, like that didn't make you one easy. How about this? Loose ball between Paul Pierce and LeBron James. I mean, Paul got it, but you did feel a little uneasy in that game seven against the Cavs. I mean, there were a few uneasy moments throughout that stretch. Maybe he's talking about the first 82 games of the regular season, or all 82, I should say. But there were certainly some uneasy moments in the postseason with that 08 championship team, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have recency bias maybe creeping in a little bit. But
yeah, man, people forget. People forget about last year, right, guys? I mean, Celtics were down 3-2 against Doc. So, Doc, I mean, look, it doesn't change how I feel, but I mean, this matters. It's all a confidence booster for Doc and, of course, the team that he coaches.
We're talking about the bench a little bit, Bobby. When you talk about the bench for the playoffs, who's in it? Who is coming off the bench in the playoffs? Because that rotation is going to get cut down. Minutes are going to tick up for the starters. And there could be a couple guys most likely getting squeezed out of playing time altogether and minutes reduced for the other players off the bench.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of it's going to be matchups. They'll probably go double big against a bigger team like this one. You saw Horford and Porzingis to start this game. So I think that's when you'll see the Cornette rotation the first half. I think Hauser's going to be out there every game. He's probably seventh right now. And Pritchard, I think he'll get the looks too. You're going to see all three of those guys in first halves at least. But how much does it tighten up into the second half? I know that's what John's always talked about. You probably won't see Cornette in the second half of those games unless he shows something. And then you kind of decide how he's approached for that second half rotation. So it's going to be tight. They're certainly not going to put all three of those guys out there together. But matchups, who's playing well, that's going to decide a lot of it. But I think more often than not, it's going to be Hauser who is that seventh man. And Pritchard, he's really held up well defensively this year, but the size factor is a thing in the playoffs. Like, they are going to go at him. How well can he hold up? How much do they like that? We'll see. But I think Hauser's given them the steadiest play of those three guys all year.
Facts, my dog. I agree. Guys, one last reminder. It is March Madness, Garden Report edition. The bracket is live on the top left of the Hernan Gomez region. Thanasis Manning versus, is that a tie? That one, we've
can we call that one yet, Jimmy?
We can call that one as soon as the voting went live.
Are we picking winners at the end of the show?
Nice. So the way it's being done, okay, Joe Sway and Bobby, if you guys didn't hear at the beginning, is during the show, the two matchups, 1 versus 8 and 4 versus 5, are being voted on with the link in the chat right now. So Thanasis Manning and Is That a Tie? That link has been taken down, and you can still vote for that on Twitter. But as far as the choice is concerned, that was a runaway victory for Thanasis Manning. And right now it's the 4 versus 5. Joe Sway's fax machine at the 4 versus 5, which is third center. And when the show ends, the voting is going to end. So get your votes in as far as why you can do it while the show is going on. And then again, you can continue. You can go on Twitter and you can vote that way. I'm not sure if there are any other avenues yet to vote on. Maybe Instagram. I have no idea. But that is the bracket. And then over the next 4 days or over the next. So we got a game Friday and a game Saturday. The remaining regions will go live during those shows, and then you can also vote for them on Twitter. So that's where we're at with the bracket right now. Thanks everybody for voting and taking part in it. We're gonna do final thoughts. I don't know where John is, but we're 1:20 in. I'll let Sherrod go first, since he was kind enough to join us at the start. And then Bobby and Josue, if you have a little bit more you want to hit on, by all means, go for it.
I mean, this was a good win for the Celtics. You know, it was by no means perfect, but it's a reminder of how different this team is now than the team we've seen in the last couple of years. As far as when they're playing teams that are undermanned, the Celtics tend to play down to that level of play. That doesn't happen as much anymore. This was not a pretty win, but the Celtics did what they needed to do down the stretch. Tatum offensively made a lot of good things happen. Jaylen Brown's defense, Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench. There's lots of different guys that had a hand in this victory. And if you're going to win a championship, that's how it's done. It's not a one or two person thing. It has to be multiple hands, night in, night out, finding ways to help you win. And that's what we saw against Bucks tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. I just think this is a great opportunity for the bench guys to just really just settle in, I guess the best way to say it. Like, I just think this deep playoff run that everyone's anticipating, you know, a lot of these guys have been through it before, or a handful of guys have been through it before. But you look at guys like Pritchard, and I mean, what Derek White's doing right now, I know he's someone been doing this like all year long, but like his offense right now compared, I mean, on top of what he's doing on the defensive end of the floor, it's incredible. So I just think their growth is going to be big for this team. Derek White more so, but also Peyton Pritchard. And I just think he's showing so many signs that this isn't just, you know, a streak or a run. I think he's really dialed in right now and knows that something's going to need him in the postseason. You know, if someone come off the bench, if guys are in foul trouble or just in general, just to hold down the fort. I mean, he was a problem for this second unit, this Bucks second unit. And, you know, for Doc Rivers to mention him as a contributing factor to the struggles, I think speaks volumes for someone that's sort of like, I don't want to say he's arrived, but he's a lot more comfortable in these situations and a lot more prepared, I should say, is the better word, because, you know, he's always had that confidence. He's always been comfortable out there. But I just think right now, this run that he's on, man, it's just it shows tremendous growth. And I just want to see these guys continue to build on that. And, you know, I think it's significant, you know, that the Celtics had that solid 1-7 or 8. I mean, we talked about it all the time, or at least the past 2 months, when people are really concerned about this bench, they're starting to make me feel better about it. You know, starting to quell my concerns a bit with this second unit. Not that I think this team needs to have a solid 1-9 or whatever to win the championship, but having those three go-to guys that you know are going to be consistent is certainly valuable in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So more of the same. Keep it up, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go deeper. You know, we hit on a lot of guys. The White stuff's great. I mean, it's just out of this world what he's doing. So that goes without saying. Brown, Tatum, I both thought they were solid in this game. Tatum came on late. Third quarter, he doesn't shoot. Still makes an impact. I think that's always impressive.
Yeah, what's up with that? Middleton.
Yo, Doc said that was that Bucks zone defense. That's what he said. He gave his team
a back. Okay. Yeah. That's what he credited to Tatum not shooting, the zone defense?
To not shooting at all, yeah. He said that he just thought that he looked uncomfortable out there a bit.
That's always the balance, right? If he's getting it to other guys and they're making shots like tonight, it looks great, seems great. But in a game where those aren't going down like that Denver one and he's not active as a shooter, doesn't look as good. So that's a fine line he has to balance there. I don't think zero shots in a quarter is the right formula exactly, but – you know, I'll have to go back and look at that one. Other than that, Middleton surprised me tonight. I think he looks about as good as I've seen in a while, and he's still coming back from an injury. The numbers for him look better than I thought they'd be this year, because I feel like we just haven't heard about him all year long. And he was pretty solid tonight. Made a lot of shots, 48 from the field for the season, 38 from three. Those are his best marks since 2021.
Who is this?
Chris Middleton. Oh, Middleton. So he's been better than I think people think. Including myself. And then Tillman tonight I thought was pretty good in his minutes. And he keeps getting better every time. Been tough on him. I'm still going to stay tough on him because I just don't know where he's going to fit offensively for them. He keeps missing his threes. He's playing the four, so he's not really by the basket. So I don't know where he's going to fit in ultimately, but he's starting to look better with each passing game. So that's good.
Nitpicking, Bobby.
And then you didn't see him again.
Yeah.
He right. went 0-2. Hey, Luke has a lot to do with
that. Luke has a lot to do with that. That's true.
Yeah, you want to see where he'll fit in. And right now, it's been tough to find a spot for him.
But, well, in general, I don't know about tonight. But. Yeah.
Bobby and Joe Sway are going to continue this conversation. They're going to go live on the floor or in the garden. I'm not sure exactly where it'll be, but they're in the TD Garden right now. They're going to go live in just a bit. So you want to look for that link on Twitter at CelticsCLNS. And you guys will be able to check them out and whatever they've saved for the late portion show. They'll be able to get.
He is the Ford Center. That's true.
He's the Ford Center. Hey, all right. That's a good reminder too. That's a good reminder, guys. One last time. Yes. I think the voting actually is closed. Why is it so blurry? Can you guys see that, or is it blurry for you too?
Bobby, you gotta get those eyes checked, bro. No, I'm just playing. No, it's pretty blurry.
I got to say, guys, if you want Josue's fax machine to advance, you're going to have to do some work on Twitter, because based on the information I have, he's your third center is about 3-1 against Josue's fax machine, 75% of the votes.
Smoked.
Give or take. Smoked. So that could be a huge dark horse contender, because that's a pretty wide margin of victory for a 5-4 seed right there. So that's the update from the show. We want to thank everybody who voted. We also want to thank Nutrisoul. Let's get them on here. Find them. No, sorry, Nutrafol. We want to thank Nutrafol. I screwed that one up. We want to thank Nutrafol. Where is it? $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. Go to Nutrafol.com/men and use the code GARDEN. And lastly, but certainly not least, we want to thank Prize Picks, big sponsor of the show. Promo code CLNS on the Prize Picks app to get a 100% deposit match up to $100, guys. March Madness college basketball starts tomorrow. Download the app, put the code in, get the match, and start betting more or less on some of these totals that they're going to offer you guys. So, again, we want to thank Prize Picks. Thanks, Sherrod, for joining us. It's been a minute. I'm glad that you could take some time away from the kids.
What up, Sherrod?
Professor Sherrod joining us and schooling us a bit on what he's been seeing out there. And, again, you guys want to follow Josue and Bobby.
Yes, sir.
After this, we will see you Friday.
Also,
who's it? Pistons again? What's up? What you got?
Real quick, brand new episode of Cedric Maxwell Podcast coming out tomorrow. You do not want to miss this.
Okay.
Max caught up with Joe Mazzulla, and I'll say I'll just put it this way. He talks about an emotional Joe Mazzulla and not in the screaming type, the other way.
Joe's on the show?
A great conversation between the two. No, this is through, I should specify, this is through Max's, this is a Max story, if you will. Okay. But it's really, really good, man. Really great, eye-opening
stuff.
Wait,
but was Joe on the show?
No, Bobby. We'll do on the damn show.
Damn it, Bobby. You got to watch it, okay?
The story. Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Max tells it better.
Tune in anyways, guys.
You made it sound like Joe was on the show.
Whoa.
Let me finish, damn it. But it's interesting because Max says this is the first conversation he's really had with Joe outside of hi and bye, and, not even small talk, really. So it was really, really great stuff, man, as you can imagine. The respect level for two-time champion, finals MVP, all that is there, man. So we'll talk about it coming out tomorrow. All right, so check out the notifications on if you don't have them already. Brand new episode of Cedric Maxwell Podcast coming out tomorrow.
There you go.
Without Joe Mazzulla.
They got Joe on. Joe is on the show tomorrow. That'll be a good one. We'll stay tuned for that.
No, don't say that. If I see people in the comment section being like, "Where's Joe?" I'm gonna be.
I can't be the only one who thought that.
I didn't.
You're not.
Finished, damn it.
Yeah. Well,
Bobby's screaming at the TV halfway through the commercial. Let me finish the commercial.
You gotta find out. Yeah, find out the hard way. All right, guys, we're out of here. The only thing is, I gotta find the outro. Here it is. Peace.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Forfeit's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.